Let us pray. Father, Lord God, first and foremost, when we come to you in thanks. But we also come to you during this time where your word is to be read and proclaimed. We ask that you be with us as thoughts that we form in our minds, meditation of our hearts. And I ask that you be with me, the words of my lips, that all of these may be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. In your son's name, amen. Okay, our passages, we have three different scripture readings today. One from the book of Luke, and then we'll turn to the book of John for two readings. First, from the book of Luke, chapter 11. So if you, despite being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Now to the book of John, chapter 14. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, so that he may be with you forever. The helper is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him or know him. But you know him, because he remains with you and will be in you. Then, Gospel of John, chapter 16. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Okay, we're talking about the Holy Spirit again today. Last week we started with the Holy Spirit in the Hebrew Bible. Now the Hebrew Bible is our Old Testament, but there's a difference because the Hebrew Bible, same books, but they're in a different order than our Old Testament. But in the Hebrew Bible, the Spirit is not so much the presence of God as it is a force sent by God to accomplish God's purposes. This force, God's Spirit, it was that parted the Red Sea. God's Spirit given to specific people for a very specific reason, to accomplish something for God at a particular time. The Spirit was given to men to create vessels for worship in the tabernacle, to praise and honor God. Samson was given the strength to rip a lion apart when he was confronted with the lion to save himself with his bare hands. David was given wisdom and courage to lead the people of God. And again, up to this point, the Holy Spirit was only given to specific people for a specific reason. And then we come to the book of Joel, chapter 2. It will come about after this that I will pour out my Spirit on all mankind, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will have dreams, and your young men will see visions. Okay, now we get to the New Testament. And as followers of Christ, we see the Holy Spirit in a different way than our Jewish brothers and sisters. Jews believe the Spirit is God's force or power working in the world. And we see or we know the Holy Spirit as God himself, the very presence of God. So when the Holy Spirit comes on someone, it is not just a force, it is God himself and the presence and power of the Holy Spirit in that person, empowering that person, giving them gifts and abilities, the presence of God himself. We've looked at the Old Testament. Today we turn to the Gospels and what they teach us about the Holy Spirit. And we'll look at what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit. We'll start off with the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Then we'll turn to the book of John. Matthew and Luke both tell us about the birth of Jesus. And Jesus is conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, when I learned the Apostles' Creed, and I don't remember where it came from, but when I learned it as Jesus conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's not what's in our hymnal, but that's the way I learned it, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Then the angel Gabriel comes to Mary and announces to her what is to happen. And we had this. The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. For that reason also the Holy Child will be called the Son of God." Because Mary's wondering, okay, I haven't been with a man. How is this going to happen? And Gabriel tells her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and that Holy Spirit some way formed a genetic code in Mary for that human, that baby, baby Jesus, to be conceived, God the Son, God the Messiah, God in the flesh. And then Luke, the Holy Spirit had a part in John the Baptist's conception and on John's dad. And then when Jesus was presented in the temple, the Holy Spirit came upon a man, Simeon, and he prophesies about Jesus, the old man dreaming dreams, just as Joel said. Okay, well, fast forward 30 years, and John the Baptist is baptizing in the Jordan River, and he says this from the book of Matthew, "As for me, I baptize you with water and repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, and I am not fit to remove his sandals, but he will baptize you," what? "With the Holy Spirit and with fire." Not long after this, Jesus comes to John to be baptized himself. And we find this in the Gospel of Mark. "And immediately coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opening and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And a voice from the heavens, 'You are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased.'" And I think it's because of this many Christians associate baptism with the outpouring of the Spirit. But if you look in the book of Acts, the Spirit comes sometimes before baptism, sometimes after, sometimes has nothing to do with baptism. So it's not just at baptism. But then, book of Luke again, chapter 4. "Now Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led around by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those 40 days. And when they had ended, he was hungry." The Spirit coming on Jesus, leading him into the wilderness, leading him throughout those 40 days. So even though he was tempted by the devil, he resisted all temptation to lead him, to guide him, to sustain him, not eating for 40 days, not eating anything but the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came on Jesus at his baptism. The Spirit then leads him into the wilderness, leads him and guides him. So the Holy Spirit will lead us and guide us if we just do one thing. Pay attention to the indwelling of the Spirit in us, the presence of the living God in us. And after Jesus had been in the wilderness for 40 days, he returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread throughout all the surrounding region. And then Matthew, Jesus is telling his disciples after he has gone, "They will come and arrest you." But he tells them, "Do not worry about what you will say, because the Holy Spirit will tell you what to say." And then we come to the book of Luke, chapter 11. Jesus talking to his disciples. Jesus teaching us to ask for the Holy Spirit. So if you, despite being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, and I think everybody here knows how to give good gifts to their kids, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So Jesus is teaching us to ask for the Spirit. Have you asked for the Spirit today, yesterday? And then in Matthew, Jesus had just healed a blind and mute man, and the religious leaders are jealous. And they say, "Jesus is doing this by the power of Beelzebub." And Jesus tells or asks the leaders, "Now wait a minute, you pray for people, and you believe they are healed because of your prayers. So how are you, what power are you casting demons out in?" And now in the book of Luke, "If God so clothes the grass in the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown in the furnace, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith?" Do you have faith enough to believe? Do you have faith enough to believe the words of Jesus and to ask for the Holy Spirit? Then Jesus says, you can do a lot of things and be forgiven, but if you speak against the Holy Spirit, you will not be forgiven. From the book of Matthew, "Therefore I say to you, every sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven, but blasphemy against the Spirit shall not be forgiven. This is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, the one unpardonable sin." I think what Jesus is getting at here God speaks to us, leads us, guides us, comforts us, encourages us, and he does all of this through the power of the Spirit living in us. But how many times do we tell that Spirit no? How many times do we not pay attention to the Spirit? How many times is the Spirit nudging us to go in one direction, to do something, but we say, no, I don't want to do it. No, I'm scared. And what did Jesus say? You of little faith. It's all those times that we keep telling God no, that one time may come and God's just going to take his hand off of us and just say, okay, you've told me no enough. Go your own way. But you go, know this, you're going that way without me. Okay, we have the Holy Spirit active in the conception of Jesus, again at his dedication, then again at his baptism and in the wilderness. Jesus saying the Holy Spirit giving the disciples the words to say when they are arrested. So leading, guiding, fulfilling, power, words. And then at the end of Matthew chapter 28. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. What? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The Trinity there. Father, Son, Spirit. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, Spirit. Teaching them to follow all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you to the end of the age. Okay, all of this from Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So now we're going to turn to the Gospel of John, the last Gospel written. John's writing is different from the other three. John, in a way, is not telling us about Jesus because Matthew, Mark, and Luke have done all that. But John wants to tell us more of who Jesus is, God in the flesh. John wants us to understand the significance, the importance of Jesus' presence in your life and in the world. In the book of Gospel of John, chapter 1, John testified saying, I have seen the Spirit descending as a dove out of heaven. He remained upon him, and I did not recognize him, but he who sent me to baptize in water said to me, he whom upon you see the Spirit descending and remaining, this is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. I think what's going on here, that John is thinking, he is baptizing, submerging people, covering them in water for a baptism of repentance. That when they come up out of that water, they are a new person. They are to change their ways, go in a different direction. But when Jesus comes, he will submerge and cover you in the Holy Spirit and give you the power to go the other way. John chapter 3, here we have the story of Nicodemus. Nicodemus tells Jesus, we know you're a teacher from God. And Jesus tells Nicodemus, you must be born again. And Nicodemus, thinking in a literal sense, I'm a grown man. How can I climb back into my mother's womb and be born again? And Jesus tells him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you are born of water and what? And the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now, people I've talked to usually interpret this in two different ways. One, you are born in natural birth in your mother, and then you're born surrounded in the womb by water. Born of water. And then you're born at some time, born of the Spirit when the Spirit comes on you. So born again. Or the other way, you are born of water in your baptism. And then when the Spirit comes upon you, you are born in the Spirit. So either way, the Spirit is there. Spirit active in you being born again. There is no other way to be born again other than born of the Spirit and the water. And then, book of John again, chapter 7. On the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. The one who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. But this he said in reference to the Spirit. The Spirit is the flow of living water, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Do you know anyone who's looked for love in all the wrong places, who just has that itch and just can't get to it, just cannot get that scratch, that itch, it's in such a place, or someone thirsting, and no matter what they drink, no matter what they do, they cannot quench that thirst? Jesus is saying, leave it to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can get to places in us that we cannot get to, that we cannot even imagine, in our deepest, darkest secrets, whatever we need. The Holy Spirit will scratch that itch. The Holy Spirit will quench that thirst. Only the Holy Spirit satisfies that yearning in our hearts. John chapter 14, some of the most important words of the New Testament. Jesus talking about the Holy Spirit, and this is before he goes to the garden and is arrested and crucified. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, so he may be with you forever. The helper is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. But you know him because he remains with you and will be with you. If we love Jesus, if we believe, if we trust, if we have faith, we will keep his commandments. To love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. To love our neighbor as we love ourselves. And if we do that, Jesus will give us another helper. Jesus is the first helper, the first advocate. And this helper he's going to give us is the Spirit of truth. That God, by the Spirit, will lead us into all truth. And what does Jesus say? The world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. So do we live by the world standards, or do we live by the standard and belief of God, Father, Son, Spirit? To be in the world, but not of the world. Said another advocate. Jesus is our first advocate, but he's going to leave, so another will come in his place. And Jesus says we must keep his commandments to love one another, and the Father will give you the Holy Spirit, and that Spirit will live in you, the very presence of God in you, living water. And the Spirit will lead you and guide you, and the Holy Spirit will also give you peace. These things I've spoken to you while remaining with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things, and he will remind you of what I have said. Peace I leave you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, not fearful. It's that Spirit, and it is only by that Spirit that we have peace. And it is only by that Spirit, whom the Father will send in Jesus' name, he will teach you all things. And that Spirit will remind us, the Spirit reminds us of who Jesus is, what he has said, and what he has done. And again, John chapter 15, when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who comes from the Father, he will testify about me. Once more, the Spirit coming in us to lead us and guide us on the path God has for us, but to tell us, and it is only by the Spirit that we know, the Spirit of truth who comes from the Father, he will testify about me. The Spirit telling us who Jesus is, why he came, and to tell us how much God loves us. And then John chapter 16, but I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I am leaving, for if I do not leave, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, when he comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. The Spirit, coming from the Father, telling you all the Father says, to lead you, to guide you, to encourage you, to comfort you, to give you strength, to tell you about Jesus, to be the people that God wants us to be. Okay, the word used here for advocate means someone to come stand by your side. You need help. You need someone to come by your side, a helper, a comforter, a counselor, somebody like you're on crutches, somebody to put their arm under you, to hold you up, to hold you steady. But in that day, the word was also used for a public defender, a defense attorney. You are brought into court. You cannot afford an attorney on your own. So one is given to you to be by your side. There's nothing we can do. Even though while we were yet sinners, Jesus went and died on the cross for each and every one of us. By our side, the Holy Spirit. Jesus uses this word in John over and over again, describing the Spirit. One way to think about this, it may be the darkest day of your life, something you have done, something someone else has done. You need help. You need someone to come alongside you, to hold you up, to encourage you, to comfort you, to tell you you are a person of worth, you're a person of value to God, and the Spirit will walk with you no matter what you are going through. We need the Holy Spirit to lead us, to guide us into all truth. We need the Holy Spirit to comfort us. We need the Holy Spirit to encourage us. We need the Holy Spirit to let us know our life has meaning. We need the Holy Spirit to tell us about Jesus, who Jesus is, what Jesus has done for each and every one of us, for the world. We need the Holy Spirit to be the individual person to walk the path that God has for you. We need the Holy Spirit as this church, the body of Christ, to be the body of Christ for this community that God wants us to be. You know, putting this together, I ran across a statistic that's not a very good statistic. In 2022, Louisiana was third in the nation for teen deaths. 100 for every 100,000 people. It doesn't seem like much, but 100 teenagers dying either by accidents, by murder, or suicide. Alaska was first with 111 per 100,000. Only 11 difference. Third in the nation. Not a good thing to be known for. There's a hotline number, 988, for crisis intervention. To know you are not alone. To know there's always hope, someone to talk to, someone to reach out to, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. It is never God's will for someone to do something to themselves. God sees and knows what we cannot see, what we cannot know. What's going to happen tomorrow? What's going to happen 10 years down the road, 5 years down the road? But somebody is always there. God is always there. The Spirit is always there to lead us, to guide us, to comfort us. If you are a believer, you are a follower of Christ, as we all are, the Spirit is already living in you. But the thing is, are you listening? Are you paying attention? How often do you tell the Spirit no? Psalm 55. As for me, I shall call upon God, and the Lord will save me. Evening, morning, at noon, I will complain and moan, and he will hear my voice. Cast your burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. David saying three times a day, evening, morning, at noon, he cast his burden upon God. How often do you do that? Once a day? Three times a day? Twice a day? Do you do it at all? To cast your burden upon God. For the Spirit to lead you, to guide you, to be the people, to be the person that God calls you to be. Let us pray. And Father, Lord Jesus, again we give you thanks for this day. Lord God, may we take time out of our day, this day and every day, to listen to you, to listen for you in the Spirit of truth, to lead us and guide us into all truth, to be the people that you call us to be. In your Son's holy and life-giving name, Father. Amen.